It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I've seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. And I don't know, Ton, maybe this next segment is going to give too much insight into my personality, but with all the cold temperatures this week and my need to be gardening, you kind of saw what I put together on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. I turned an old aquarium, this huge old aquarium that hasn't been used probably 10, 15 years since my oldest son's bearded dragon died. And I just thought, you know what? I have to get my succulents that I've become obsessed with over the past few weeks and find a warm place for them. And so I turned this aquarium into a terrarium, basically.
That's great. Gives you not only something to do, not that you don't have enough to do.
No, but it gives me something enjoyable
yes.
to do that takes my mind off a lot of other things. Let's put it that way.
It gives you something enjoyable, but it also, during the winter months, if you are exposed to plants and greenery, it actually can boost your mood.
Oh, no doubt about it.
There's just so many things that are good going for growing house plants and growing things in your home, especially if you enjoy it, just because of the health benefits from the hobby and just the greenery itself.
Mm-hmm. There's something like watching something grow, though.
Yeah.
Creating something and watching it grow.
Yeah. There really is fun things. And, you know, you can make a couple of different types of terrariums, and what you've created is more of a succulent terrarium.
Mine's more like a little mini greenhouse because
yes.
I haven't taken the plants out of their pots because I want to do things with them. And I was worried that if I just planted them in there in you know, some cactus soil or whatever, that I wouldn't be able to have the freedom to do a bunch of my projects that I have planned.
No. And so that's good that you have some flexibility. And as you need to, especially if the plants get bigger, you can transplant them into bigger containers and keep being able to use them.
Mm-hmm. So that was my goal.
Yes.
But the goal of what we're talking about this morning in our feature is really how to design, you know, a smaller terrarium, something a little more manageable than what I have.
Yes. Now, the standard or classic terrarium, or what people expect when you say I built a terrarium, is something in a glass container that's enclosed. And so you would put plants in there that are adapted to that really wet, humid environment. And then you put the lid on, and you can go anywhere from weeks to months and sometimes years before you have to add more water.
Years?
Now, years sometimes, depending on the style and the room the plants have, their growth rates and things like that. Now, generally, though, you want to go weeks, and a terrarium, the life on one, because plants grow, even in there, you know, they grow more slowly, is usually a year to 2 years. And then you either need to dive in there and take the plants out and transplant them into pots or replant or redo, you know, the terrarium, because that soil will decompose and they're not putting enough organic matter in there to sustain it sometimes. Sometimes you get away with it, a lot of times you don't. And so you may need to gently add some more potting soil in, clean it out, do a few things like that.
Yeah, it's not a one and done. This really is a hobby project.
It is, and it's something that you recreate one every year to 2 years, and then hopefully you can reuse the old plants and some of your materials.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not just shoving potting soil into a container. So you need to start with pea gravel of some sort, and that goes on the bottom, and then you put a layer of what we would call horticultural charcoal or activated carbon, and you put that over the gravel, and then you put your potting soil down, and that will help keep the potting soil from falling into the gravel, but it also creates drainage so that you don't kill your plants with root rot.
Right. So I have seen so many comments of people who've tried terrariums and have been really disappointed with the outcome. How can you be successful? What are the key things that you need to look at?
You don't want the soil super wet. You know, it seems like you would want it like that, but what you're going to do is get that soil wet to the point it's almost like a wrung out sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And then put your plants in there and put the lid on. And what you're watching for is just, you don't want anything inside to wilt, but if you feel like it might be a little dry, instead of just pouring water on the soil, you get a mister, almost like you would use for ironing clothes, and spray the sides of the glass container so that that water drips down, and then put the lid back on. So you know you have too much if you have the lid on, and you start getting a lot of condensation and fog on the glass. If you get that, you open it up for about an hour and then close it and keep doing that until the soil stays moist, but the glass is clear.
Okay, I would have messed this up already because I would never think to spray the side of the glass. I would be spraying the plants.
Yeah, they're in an extremely moist, humid environment anyway, so they're going to get that. But the reason to just kind of use a spray bottle and try to spray the glass is that you're not wanting to add a lot of water. I mean, this is almost like making bread and getting that bread dough to the perfect consistency, to where you're sometimes adding a tablespoon of water at a time and letting it mix in for a minute or two, so you know. And so slow and steady wins the race here, so that you don't create a flood or completely dry things out.
Okay, how do you decide which plants would be best for your terrarium?
The fact sheet that Caitlin posted for us has a list, but what you're looking for are baby plants. And so you can go to a garden center right now and buy little, like, 2-inch starts. And those would be perfect. And as long as they're not succulent, about anything would be something you could try. You know, that list has a few, but, you know, peperomias, I don't think pothos was on there, but you might be able to do that. But again, as these things grow, you're eventually going to have to scoop them out and try to get as many of the roots as you can and maybe transplant them out and redo every year or two. But, these little start plants are 79 cents or $1.19. So it's not a hugely expensive thing to get, you know, to try.
Okay, so I pretty much have mislabeled my little thing. It's not really a terrarium, because terrariums really are for tropical plants, and I'm growing succulents. Mine should just be called a mini greenhouse, right?
Yeah, well, succulents can be tropical plants. Many of them are. And so what you've created is a dry terrarium.
There you go. Okay, so I still use the correct word. It's just
dry
terrarium.
You did.
Okay, good to know. Because as a hobby horticulturist, as you call me, I don't have all of that technical knowledge.
Well, and, you know, when you say, and I never mean that to be anything derogatory, there are so many hobby horticulturists out there.
No, I didn't take it. I actually
Yeah, they're
liked
fantastically it. Talented in what they're doing.
But we do a lot of trial and error.
Yes.
Which means we make a lot of mistakes.
You know, when the caller earlier mentioned JD and me, and there's Mike and Sheridan.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, we all got into horticulture because we love horticulture and not for the pay, obviously. But you're in it so much that it becomes a job. And sometimes you just want to shut it off when at 5 o'clock. And sometimes I get a little bit sad that, you know, it's not that I've lost that love of it, but sometimes you need something else. And so, you know, for people, you know, my older brother, you and many others that just love horticulture and love the hobby and the joy it brings, I'm glad for those people, because sometimes if you do it for a living, it's hard to maintain that drive to have it be super enjoyable.
I mean, you don't stay up till after midnight putting together a dry terrarium?
No.
For the fun of it?
No.
Like me?
No, I, you know, but there's, as
you,
things.
You had those days before.
Right now, without COVID, I'm shuttling teenagers everywhere in the evenings, but it's one of those things that I'm slowly getting more into. Not that I ever lost it, but I'm finding some things I really want to try. And there's so many aspects. And so one thing with me doing the greenhouse show, and this is, I guess, a tangent, is that I've actually found out I really enjoy audiovisual stuff and, you know, recording and filming and things like that. So an aspect of horticulture I never would have imagined is putting together videos and podcasts and such things. And I found that it's been a nice way to keep the hobby of it going, and so that it just doesn't become like drudgery.
Yeah, it kind of changes it up for you, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right, we're going to take a break. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. We have a bunch of texters who are asking questions as well. You can text us your question at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We've gotten people excited about growing things indoors, Ton. But before we get to their questions or phone calls, we did have a couple of texters who have been waiting quite a while here. The first one, I knew this would take you a bit of time. So what is a good shade tree that kids can climb on?
Oh boy, there's so many. You know, it depends on the size of the yard, but if you are in one of our more modern subdivisions that has a quarter acre or even fifth acre lots, I wouldn't do anything larger than maybe a Pacific Sunset maple. Those will get 30 to 35 feet tall and are very climbable over time. But if you're wanting like the 60 to 75 foot sycamore, you had better have a half acre to a full acre available so that you don't overwhelm your yard. I would also completely stay away from cottonwoods and willows, because you can climb them, but they're oftentimes dead within 25 or 30 years. And they're the $30 tree that costs $30,000 sometimes to remove. So yeah, I would, you know, the Pacific Sunset or Norwegian Sunset maples would be two that they could look at. Queen Elizabeth maple, State Street maple, any of those would be fine.
Okay, the other question you didn't have time for before the top of the hour was, this person has a sweet gum tree that has yellow leaves every year. They were told to apply a lot of iron chelate to the soil in the spring, but that hasn't helped at all. What are your suggestions?
We've got to make a witch's brew. So we need to pull out our cauldron. I know Halloween's done.
No,
but
sorry.
I'll start making the corny. Stop making the corny jokes.
Okay, but at least not the Halloween ones.
Okay.
Okay.
That, we'll save those for next year. So what we're going to do is that oftentimes trees get nutrient deficiencies that may not be iron, and they look about the same. So this is what I'm going to have the gentleman or the lady do. Is the case
this is
maybe.
Keith, actually.
Keith.
He
so
texted
gentleman.
Back, and he
okay.
lives in Orem.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to recommend. He needs to get the chelated iron. So Miller, Farrah Plus, or Grow More Chelated Iron are the two common ones available to homeowners. On top of that, he's going to want to get some Humate. Now, I hope none of my campus professors are listening.
Because?
So we're going for broke here, because humates are one of those things that are just, there's some evidence saying they're good, some saying they're bad, some saying they do nothing. So this isn't really evidence-based, but we're just going for broke here. We're taking the shotgun approach.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting some humate, some humic acid, some liquid humic acid, iron, and then we're also going to get some liquid plant fertilizer. There's many of them out there. And we're going to also get liquid micronutrients. So other companies that'll have things like, you know, copper and manganese and magnesium and all these different micronutrients. We're going to mix this all up in a 5-gallon bucket. And then we're going to go under the canopy of the tree and walk back and forth. And you may need to mix 2 or 3 different buckets with some water in them and drizzle this under the canopy of the tree and then water it in for 10 or 15 minutes. And we're going to do this in late March or early April. And with the humates, the nitrogen, the iron chelate, and the micronutrients, if that doesn't bring the tree out, there's something else going on.
Mm.
You know, whether it's too, and the other thing they need to check is if that sweet gum is in an extremely wet situation, because if it's really wet, then that would induce these nutrient deficiencies, and nothing you put down would solve it until you stop overwatering.
Okay. So put together a bit of a brew.
Yes.
Thanksgiving brew right now.
Root beer. Root beer
is what okay.
we're, yes. We're making non-alcoholic root beer with dry ice and not yeast. No, I'm just kidding. We'll just leave that alone.
Let's go to Carla in Taylorsville. Carla, save us. What is your question this morning?
Yes. Oh, we so appreciate your program. I was on the line live when they cut into the newscast and that about President-elect Biden.
Sorry,
and I just
that just kind of blew the greenhouse out of the water.
Thought,
I'm so sorry.
One thing that we've learned is...
KSL.
Yeah.
I
should interject really quick.
Hang on a sec, Carla.
One thing I should interject that even though we do the greenhouse show, KSL is always first and foremost a news station.
Mm-hmm, no doubt about it.
And so sometimes we, unfortunately, to our listeners, have to take a back seat to that. But that's always going to take our priority. I apologize. But yeah, so go ahead.
Glad you missed us, though, Carla. What is your question this morning?
I want to know what I can grow edible in a north window in my laundry room. My husband didn't tell me in that because I was having such a difficult time after the loss of my baby brother at only 76 years of age.
I'm sorry.
But my praying mantis died, and I wondered in that if there's something that I can grow that's edible in that north window in the laundry room, and that I'm really hungry, but I'm having a hard time, dealing with what to do. And I just wondered in that I've got cyclamen, but that's not edible. I got my Best in Show hen and chick plants. I've got a poinsettia that's leafing out, and I've got some. Other type of plants, but I wondered if there's anything edible that I can grow in that north window.
Well, one thing you would probably need to do is manage it so that you have a shelf or something that you can put over the edge of the window and have a little more space.
Okay, I have a shelf. It's only about 4 inches, it's going to have to be everything in miniature.
Well, and that's the problem.
How about herbs?
That's the direction I'm going, but in a north window, she's probably going to need supplemental lighting from something as inexpensive as a shop light that you could just plug in. Because it's a north exposure in the winter, although there are houseplants that would go there, I'm afraid that the light levels would be too low for anything like radishes or mustard greens or lettuces that you could grow. And so you would need something like a grow system that has a little lights above it or a shop light, sitting about 6 inches above your plants. But yes, you could.
What about the east window where I am now?
The east window would be better.
Would there be anything edible there?
Well, you're never going to grow an apple tree or a lemon tree or something. Well, in an east. And so you're more looking towards things that you could maybe grow inside, like herbs, like Maria said, or winter greens that you can harvest regularly. My grandma used to grow wheatgrass, and she'd make some gross juice out of it or something. But anyway, TMI again. But there are things you could do, but you're not going to have this incredibly productive area that's just going to feed you. You know, you might get a salad every couple of weeks or something.
When I called in last week, I was asking about evergreens and peace rose that had just bloomed so beautifully. But I wanted to know, how I protect and how much I need to prune those rose bushes and in order to that they will do better next year. My husband severely cut down our pair of climbing white roses that we planted at the time of my mother's death and my little dog.
But so let me cut you off right here because we've got to go to break. I apologize.
Okay.
But just really in short, leave the roses alone unless they're in danger of splitting out in the snow, and just prune them back minimally so that they don't split out.
Carla, thank you so much for your call. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Give us a call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.